Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we now stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You've tuned me in at Ionia, WION 1430 AM, or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and WION is also heard on 100.3 FM in the Low Ada area. And so we welcome each of you to our broadcast today. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. And I welcome those of you that's listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. You take your mouse and scroll over to where it says Messages from the Lighthouse. Put your mouse on Messages from the Lighthouse and it'll light up Current Media. And as soon as you find Current Media, click on that and it takes you to the broadcast for today. If you want to listen to some other broadcasts that's not on that there point, there's some past broadcasts where you just click on Past Media. Whatever way you joined us, I'm just glad that you've joined in with us and we're glad to be a part of your life in this very special way. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial costs involved in broadcasting. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. A big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belding area. To Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from Orleans. We appreciate Gloria's support. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave. And they've been a supporter for a long time. And she's from the Greenville area. And to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband Fran. And they've been a supporter for a long time as well. Also, always like to say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger. I don't want to take her for granted because she's so good about putting my music together and does such a beautiful job for me, and I appreciate that so much. I'd like to give an invitation to Shiloh Community Church. This is our last Sunday that Pastor Shane Pruitt will be with us. He's moving on to Cleveland, Ohio, and so we're going to be in search for a new lead pastor. But everything's going to go on as it normally does. We still have two other pastors, and so Saturday evening at Shiloh, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and then a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus, that's at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, and that service is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Well, that takes care of all the chores, as I call them, that I need to do, and I sure do enjoy being with you. It's a Wednesday morning when I'm putting this CD together. And, you know, it's kind of had a little rain before I came over here. I'm over here at 7 o'clock. I had a little rain, and then I thought, well, we'll go over there and set. And, you know, I come over, and the lake's just got a little teeny ripple to it. It's one of those mornings where you might say to yourself, you know what? I'd rather be fishing. And I'm not really saying that, but, you know, it's just one of those kind of mornings. You know what I mean, when it looks like, hey, I bet they really bite this morning. I don't see any fishermen out there yet, but I suspect there'll be some before I get through with the broadcast. And you know what? I need to remind you from my heart to yours, I would not rather be fishing. I'd rather be sharing this message with you, which has been my privilege for a long time, and I enjoy it so much. Our message this morning is the idea of God. God's desire is to bless people so that people can be a blessing to people. Let me say that again. God's desire is to bless people so people can be a blessing to other people. And we're going to address that in just a few moments, but we'll get started with our message time. You know, one of the things that we need to realize is we look in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, he tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses of the past that give testimony to the truth of what I want to share this morning, that God blesses people so they can bless people. And you know, God has always done things the way that was the very best that it could possibly be done. And so what this song is going to do with us this morning, it says, well, if you're going through a tough time in your life, going through a questioning time in your life, a difficult time in your life, just ask the people in the Bible about how they went through those difficult times. And so you're having a tough time, just ask those from the scriptures, and they can give to you an answer of what's going on in their lives at that time. So here we go. We're ready to take right off.
To your question, but don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers who've been there, and their stories.
Good advice is that, dear people? What good advice is that to each one of us to realize that all we got to do is just ask, and God's blessing will be upon us in a very special way. I'm thinking about the, as you ask, you know, you can't ask these people personally of the biblical time. But you know, if you was to ask me as an individual, it could let you know you go through some tough times. You go through some times when you don't have more questions than you have answers. And sometimes through the years, what I've learned, we don't really need the answer. We just got to trust him. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to learn that God is blessing us. And he's blessing us more than we realize. And then also we're going to learn the realization that we are supposed to bless others. Be an encouragement to them, a strength to them, an understanding heart that reaches out to touch their lives in a very special way. Well, we'll address that in just a moment, but first of all, I want to pray for the listening audience. You're my focus, folks. I'm sitting here at my microphone looking over this beautiful lake, and there's not much activity going on as of yet. But I got to tell you, one of the things that I do sometimes when I sit here is I remember people who say, I'm listening to you every Sunday morning. Have you on while we're driving to church on Sunday morning and all those kinds of things, because I'm just talking to a microphone. And yet there's listening audience out there, and I want to pray for you. So let's just bow for a moment. Dear Father, once again, I count it a privilege to come into your presence and ask in behalf of the listening audience this morning that you would minister to them in a very special way. I want to be their pastor that is praying for the needs that they have this morning in their individual hearts and lives. So I want to pray for that one that's just lost a loved one. Been a lot of funerals this lately, and I just pray for that one that is experiencing grief process right now. Maybe it isn't just this week, but it's been a month ago or maybe 6 months ago, but they're going through a really tough time of grief. And I ask your special blessing to be upon them, that your loving arms would reach out and give them the comfort and the strength that they need. I want to pray for those older ones that's got me tuned in this morning, and their life has been narrowed down to pretty much almost homebound, and they just can't get out very much. But this morning, they've got me tuned in on the radio, and I just want to pray especially for them this morning that you would minister to the lonely and the discouraged and those that feel they're all alone. I just ask, our Father, they might sense the presence of yourself with them in a very special way. And then, dear Father, I want to pray for those that's going through some family problems. So there's some kind of upsetting things taking place in the family, so I pray for them that you would bless them. Those that's going through financial discouragement, there's just been so many expenses just lately. I just pray that you might meet their need according to your will. Now, Father, we're going to look into your word. And I want you to honor your word, Father. You tell us in your word that your word does not return void to you. It accomplishes the purpose that you're sending it out for. And Father, this morning, you're sending it out over the radio waves, and I just ask that your word would accomplish the purpose that you have for it this morning. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in that wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Well, dear people, let me say it again. God's desire is to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. That's the way God works. God sees fit to use people to bless people. He wants to use your life. He wants to use my life to be a blessing in somebody else's life. One of the verses that I like that I use an awful lot at funerals is, every life touches the life of someone else. And other people's life touches your life. And so we got to realize that none of us is an island unto ourselves, but that it is something very special for us to be a part of. I think you've heard something like this morning, where it's called the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you'd have others to do unto you. Another way it is said in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, in everything treat others as you would want them to treat you. For this fulfills the law and the prophets. God's saying all of the word of God of the past hangs on the thought of the realization of how you treat other people. And he's saying, I want you to treat other people the way you'd want to be treated. We're losing that, aren't we? It's a golden rule for sure. But we're losing that. Others want to take advantage. I didn't track this week, but I got to tell you, folks, There's so many calls that come on the telephone that are telemarketers trying to get you into. Some of them are just scams. We had a scam a week ago where somebody had called and said one of our grandsons was in trouble and we needed to send $3,000 right away. We didn't do it, and I'm glad we didn't do it because they told us not to check with the parents of the child because that would get him in more trouble. But we checked anyway, and I got to tell you, the little guy was home. He'd been home all evening. He wasn't in any trouble. Somebody just trying to scam us out of $3,000. All those kinds of things that we hear today. They've kind of forgot the golden rule. They wouldn't want to be treated that way. And so we need to realize that this was a teaching of Jesus. But you know what, folks? One of the most natural things for us humans to do is when we are hurt, we want to hurt back. We want to strike back if somebody strikes us. And a person who hurts us is also why we need to study this message for this morning. Before we can talk about God's desire of blessing people so we can bless people, we need to deal with the fact that probably everybody under the hearing of my voice this morning has been wounded by another person. Another person has hurt you. This is as old as the human race, where people hurt people. Even our first parents went through that, Adam and Eve. Remember, they had two sons, and we read about the one hurting one son, hurting the other son. Matter of fact, he ended up killing him. I want to read this here from the book of Genesis. Now, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and she bore a son, Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the first fruit of his flock and of the sheep that he had. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But the Lord did not respect Cain's offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. He's depressed, he's discouraged, he was rejected. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door. And its desire, the sin's desire, is for you, but you should rule over the sin. Then one day Cain talked to Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in their field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. Man, what a sad story. Our first parents. Now listen. They had nobody else to buy. They had nobody else to blame. There was no other families there. They couldn't have blamed television. They couldn't have blamed all the devices that we like to blame today. It was two kids raised in the same family, one by the same mom and dad. It wasn't a result of divorce. It wasn't a result of abuse. This one son raised up and killed the other son. You know why he did that? Cain felt hurt, and he didn't know how to deal with the hurt. And he felt that hurt. You see, they had taken offering to God, and Abel's offering was accepted, and Cain's was refused. So you know what? Cain is really mad at God. But he's going to take it out on Abel. I don't know how many times that stuff has worked out that way. You're mad at one person, and you take it out on another person. God told him, Abe, Cain, if you do what is right, you'll be okay. Don't let this thing upset you. If it upsets you, it'll carry you further than you want to be carried. Have you ever noticed sin always takes us farther than we want to go? It always keeps us longer than we want to be kept. We need to realize that's what Cain was, just dwelling on that. He was dwelling on that wound. He was dwelling on that hurt. And you know, that Cain, as he dwelt on that, all of a sudden a little hurt, I think he thought was going to get better if he killed his brother. Can you imagine that? Thinking that you're going to get better off if you kill your brother. He did it because he was hurting. Listen, folks. Hurting people hurt people. And sometimes they hurt the innocent. Man, how much have we seen that in our society just these last few years? Some individuals hurting some way. It can be political, it can be spiritual, it can be financial, it can be whatever. And he reaches out and hurts innocent people. You know what? I came across this saying. It's not scripture, but I believe it's got some truth in it. People will usually hurt you in an attempt to heal themselves. They think by hurting you, they're going to feel better. I can't talk about God's desire to bless people so they can bless people without realizing that people have hurt you sometime or another. People have hurt me in the past. And yet if we dwell on that, it's going to cause us more problems. You know what I learned a long time ago, and I'm so glad I've learned it because I've used it in any relationship. When somebody wounds me, when somebody hurts me, I just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand it. Or they're thinking from their perspective. We've kind of forgotten the golden rule. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. They wouldn't want to be treated the way they just treated me. So instead of getting angry at them and the end result being worse things come out of that anger, God is saying we need to forgive. But you know what, so folks, I can't leave that even just at that part. God has a strong desire that people, he would bless people so they would bless people. But we need to deal with the fact that sometimes this hurt comes from within the family unit. I love the story of the family of God, the family that God used to bless my life, with the necessity to forgive my family, forgive my stepdad when I was growing up in the family. I learned about Joseph in the book of Genesis. It was a big family with one dad. There was two moms. Mother Leah, she had 10 sons, and Mother Rachel, she had 2 sons. But there was a lot of jealousy in the 10 sons when dad gave Joseph a coat of many colors. And there was a lot of jealousy because they felt that dad loved Joseph and Benjamin more than he did them. And that jealousy grew, just like Jesus, just like God had told to Cain, if you dwell on that, it's going to get you into deeper sin. It's going to cause you to go further than you want to go. They hated Joseph. They really were hating their dad. But they're going to take it out on Joseph. And you know something? One day, Joseph was sent to check on his brothers, and they saw him coming, and they decided they would kill him. That seemed to be the answer in that day, kill. It seems to be the answer sometimes in so many other things that's happening in our society. But as a long part of the story, I don't have time to go into this morning, but instead they sold him into slavery. A group of people who bought people was coming through that area, and then they sold him into slavery, and then they killed an animal. And they dipped Joseph's coat of many colors, and they enjoyed that as they dipped his coat into the blood of the animal. And then they went home, and they told Dad a lie. We found Joseph's coat, but he was gone. He's letting that dad think that his son had been devoured out there in the wilderness, and dad beginning to think, I wish I'd never sent him my son to check on the boys. And they lived with that lie that an animal had killed Joseph. and his brothers were living like that, lying, watching Dad go through the grieving process over Joseph. In the meantime, in the land of Egypt, Joseph had ended up there. That's where he ended up. And after a lot of different trials in Joseph's life, one day he was raised to the place of prominence in the government. He was right underneath the Pharaoh. He was a number two man in the land of Egypt. And he did a lot to help the Egyptians know how to take care of the years of good years and how to save up from those good years and then how to get through the difficult years. And years got difficult. And pretty soon all the nations around them was running out of food. But Egypt was prosperous. Even though it was Egypt, God had blessed them. And he had blessed them because of Joseph. It is said that Joseph found favor and that they knew that Joseph was a man of God. And God was blessing the people because of Joseph. And there he is, a slave in a distant land. You know, when there's no food and then the good news travels, hey, there we know where there's some food. And Joseph's dad had heard about the food in Egypt, so he sent his sons to go get some food. When they got to Egypt, Joseph recognized them, but of course they didn't recognize Joseph. They never would have thought he'd been in that position where he was. He told them there was going to come a time when they would bow down before him, and that's what made him even more angry. But they came in and they bowed down before him, said they needed food, and they were begging for food. Joseph put them through a lot of different things that he run through their lives. I think he just wanted to just taunt them a little bit, so to speak, even though they didn't know who he was. And so they had wounded him and hurt him. And then after a while, Joseph revealed himself. He said, "I am your brother who you sold into slavery." You know what, folks? That must have been a silent moment as those sons heard that their sin had not gone unnoticed, and especially had not gone unnoticed by God. And now here they are in the presence of their brother that has every right to have them killed. But instead of that, as time went on, he brought Dad there to the land of Egypt. He provided for them. He gave them some places to live and so on. And then when Dad died, the brothers thought, for sure, Joseph will get even now. He didn't do that before because of Dad. But now Dad is gone, and so he's going to get even. Because that's their mindset. They had hurt him. And so now they suspected that the best thing he would do to them is hurt them. That's what he would do. You know what Joseph said, and that changed my life. Joseph said to them, "When you did this evil to me of selling me into slavery, you meant it to my harm. But now listen, because this is where it's at, folks. But God meant it to good. God blessed me. And the reason God blessed me was so I could be a blessing. And many lives have been saved. And I'm even in a position to save the lives of my family members. God meant it to good." And when I read that, because of the meanness of my stepdad to me, I had to forgive him, and God was dealing with me about forgiving him. He meant to hurt me, but God meant it to good. You know what was pretty popular at that time when I was going through that in my individual life? There was a Chiquita brand banana that had this saying, "A bump on the outside creates a bruise on the inside." Let me say that again. "A bump on the outside creates a bruise on the inside." You know what, folks? It was God's word that helped me to learn how to forgive. and to help me to take the hurts that somebody else had put on my life instead of me being angry and want to hurt them, to forgive them. You know what it was that changed that for me? It was God's word. When Joseph said, "You meant it to harm, but God meant it to good." Got a song that says, "Thy word." God's word is powerful, and God's word is able to help us come to an understanding of those things that's happened in our life that we can't understand otherwise. So God's word is going to help us to get through this difficulty. We'll listen to this song, and I'll be right back.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. Is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my bed. And I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the
God's word into your life and God's word into my life is a light unto our path. And that's a special blessing for us to get a hold of this morning, that God gives us these stories in the Bible to help us understand. It gives light to our life that there will be people who hurt you, people outside of the family, people within the family. You might attend a church and you got your Christian family, your fellow believers, and sometimes even one of them might say something or do something that hurts you. So we need to realize that God's intent and God's purpose is to bless us so we can be a blessing to others. That's what he proved in Joseph's life. Joseph took the hurt that he went through, and God used it to bless other people and to save many lives. God's desire is to do that, and it begins with Joseph's dad. That's where this foundation of what I want to share with you in this point of time now is this foundation began with Joseph's father, Abraham. And, you know, this is what it says. Now, Abraham, the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of this country from where your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Now, listen to what he says. I will make you a great nation. Out of one person, he's going to make a great nation. This is the birth of the nation of Israel. I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in all families of the earth will one day be blessed through you. That's God's desire. And it's not just God's desire for Abraham. It's God's desire for each one of us, that he can pour his blessings out on us. And as we receive his blessing, it does something inside of our hearts and lives to make us want to bless other people. And when we bless other people, God is blessed again. And you know what I found out? I think he just makes the circle go. When you bless someone else, he blesses you because you bless them. And that's something that is so special in our lives as individuals. God is by nature a God who wants to bless us. God's purpose behind blessing Abraham was so that Abraham could be a blessing. I got to say that a few more times. God wants to bless you and I, that we can be a blessing to someone else. God sees fit to use people to bless people, even though some people have hurt us. The blessing was bigger than just Abraham. The blessing was supposed to go to him, but then all of a sudden the blessing was supposed to go through him to someone else. That's the way God always had planned it to be. He blesses us, to us, we get blessings, and then he takes those blessings that he blesses us with and goes through your life and my life, and we reach out and bless someone else. Seems so simple, that people make it so difficult. When it said in the scripture there that I read a few moments ago from Genesis 12 that Abraham was going to be a blessing to every family on the earth. You know why that was? Because one day, through the genealogy of Abraham, is going to come the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. And that one Jesus came into this world for one purpose, that he might bless your life with the forgiveness of sin, that he might bless your life with the hope of eternal life, that he might bless your life when he's the shepherd and you're the sheep, when you recognize that he's the creator and you are the creation, when you recognize that he is the vine and you are the branches. See, God's blessing you. And God's blessing upon you is so you can reach out and bless others. To the degree that you're able to release your life from your control will be the degree that you're able to receive what God has for you and what God wants to do through you. That's important to get a hold of, folks. I believe if you want to be used of God to be a blessing to others, it will be governed by your willingness to give, your willingness to share. I love the way the Lord Jesus taught it. It was so special one day when Jesus was talking to the people on the Sermon on the Mount. Give, and it'll be given to you, Jesus said. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom by both God and people. For the same measure that you use to measure it out is the same measure that will be used to measure it back. You ever think of that? You're in charge of your blessings. God's going to bless you with the measure you're willing to bless somebody else. And if you're not willing to bless somebody else, why do you expect blessings come to you? We need to remember that you can never outgive this God. I may do that again because I just love the way it says the way God gives. He said it's a good measure. He tells us it's a good measure. He tells us also it has been shaken down. It has been pressed down. It's been running over. That's a huge, huge blessing that God wants to give to each one of us. And there's a purpose for that, that you might be blessing to other people. And God wants to take what he's done in your life as he wants to give to you. He wants you to use that kind of a measure as you measure it out to others. He wants you to do the best that you're capable of doing. With that thought in mind, I want to show you why that's so important today. I'm going to be sharing in the next few weeks about divine coaches. But I need to let you know that God's desire is to help us in this difficult time of our life. And God's desire is to show us that whatever we've experienced in life, don't just dwell on that. It'll lead to more bad experiences. Instead, forgive and reach out to others. I love an Old Testament story that's in the book of 2 Kings. There were some men that had leprosy. And when you had leprosy, that was a dreaded disease, and they thought it was very contagious. And so lepers lived with lepers. And you were not allowed to be in the gated cities. All those cities in those days had walls around them for protection, and they were gated city. But a leper could not come into the gated city. Matter of fact, when a leper's walking down the road, he'd have to cry out when he sees somebody coming towards him, "Unclean, unclean," meaning I have leprosy. As a result of that, he was disowned and rejected. And this city that these four lepers were sitting outside of the wall, they couldn't get in the city. And outside of the city, there was an army that was holding hostage this city. They was waiting until they ran out of food, and then they was going to conquer that city. And outside of the walls was the four lepers. Inside was the gated community running out of food. And outside was an army, a huge army, waiting to just till they get so weak and so on, and then going in and taking over the city. Well, in the meantime, God caused a great disturbance that only that army heard. And they thought, man, this nation is joined up with other nations, and here comes a whole bunch of people. And they took off and they left. And they were gone. They left everything they had. They left their tents. They left their food. They left animals. They left their possessions that they carried with them. And these four men are sitting at the entrance gate, and they're in a hard place because they can't get into the city. They can't go because the army will do things. And they sat there, and then they said, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we'll die there if we could even get into the city. If we sit here, we're also going to die. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. And if they spare our lives, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die. We're going to die anyway." So they went across at a twilight night to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when he came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was not a single person there. For the Lord had made the army of Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses and the sound of a great army. So they said one to another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us of the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians come against us." So they fled in that twilight. And they abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys, and they left the camp. They just fled what they had on their back. Can you imagine when those four lepers came into that city, into that army place, and everybody's gone? They went into the first tent, and man, there was food. There was some silver and gold. There was some clothes. There was other things. Those men, they just started eating everything they could eat. And they started digging holes and burying some of the treasures that they found. Then they'd enter into another tent, and they would do that again. And it was just pretty soon they couldn't eat no more. And all of a sudden, this is what he said, and I like what he said. "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news. If we remain silent while that city over there is dying, we're going to be worse off. Punishment will be in our account. So therefore, now let us go and let us tell the city there's no army there, but there's lots of food and lots of other things. You see, God blessed those four lepers, but he just didn't bless them so they could hoard it up. That's where he started. They ate as much as they could eat. You can only eat so much. And he ate as much as they could eat. They started gathering, and all of a sudden, this isn't right. Treat others the way you want to be treated. This isn't right. You see, I believe God's word's inside of our heart. God's word was inside of the hearts of those people, those four lepers. They went and told the city, and the bottom line about all of that was, when the city found out and they come and checked it out and found it to be true, that whole city was spared. God blessed the lepers so they could bless a whole city. That's what God wants to do. He wants to be a blessing in your life so you can be a blessing in other people's lives. What I want to talk about that is the idea that he does that through the things he does for us and through the blessings that he puts upon our lives and then what he shares us in the word, in his word. Remember, God's words are a lamp unto our life. God's word is teaching us how to realize how to do things the way it should be done. They knew, they said, this is not right. We shouldn't just hoard up all of this for ourselves when other people are in need. I want to think of it as a divine coach. And God's foundation for the divine coach, I believe, is found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. I love the way he said that. Grace and peace be multiplied. Not just added. Multiplied. 2 times 2 is 4. That's going to 4 times 4 is 16. Multiplied in your life. His divine power has given us things that pertain to life and to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and the virtue by which he's given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, what are these precious promises that God's given to us? What is to happen when God is working inside of our lives? Listen to what he goes on to say. By these promises and by God working inside of your life, you have become a part of divine nature. You don't just have the old sin nature in your life, folks, where you want to hoard everything up. You've got a divine nature, God's thinking in your life. You got God's word in your life. You got the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life when you placed your faith in him. And this God working in your life is going to produce God things. And what God wants to do, he said, I want to bless you. I want to bless you with all of these divine promises that I've given you. They're precious. They're great. And he says, I want to bless you with these exceeding promises I've given to you. You can escape the lust of the world so you don't think just like the world thinks. You can escape that lust of just hoarding everything up. And you can think about reaching out to other people and becoming a blessing in their lives so that God can work through you into the life of another person. I believe that's so special. I believe the way this works is that God and his exceeding great and precious promises become a part of your life. It will produce a divine nature within your life to help you become what God wants you to become. You know, there was one time when Jesus said, I am the branch and you're the vine. I'm the vine, that's what he said. I got it backwards. I'm the vine, you're the branch. You can do nothing without me. Then later on, God shares with us in his word through the Apostle Paul. He gave us this promise, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You see, this divine power at work in your life is going to make you to want to be a blessing on others. These blessings that God's given in our life are going to cause us to want to reach out and touch the life of somebody else. God's trying to bless you this morning, dear people. My time is up, I see. I got a song I want us to listen to this song, talk about the blessings of God upon our life. But those blessings of God upon our life that we're listening to in this song is really just for one purpose and one purpose only. God's blessing on your life is so you can become a blessing to someone else. In the next few weeks, I want to talk about the different ways that God does that. But we're going to listen to this song right now. And this song is sharing with us that God's blessing is our lives in such a way that He wants to reach out and touch our life. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. Each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? Skies. When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not greater thirst this world satisfy. And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise?